Welcome to the studio, Anne.
Thank you.
How are you this morning?
I'm pretty well, thank you.
Good. And what is today?
Ah, today is World Heart Day.
And why are you involved?
So, my daughter Rachel was born with a congenital heart condition 34 years ago. I needed just to share that journey with somebody and found the Children's Heart Association and then became part of it and really appreciated the friendship I got there and doing crazy things together. And so it's just been really enriching to be part of that group of people giving back. Mm-hmm. So sometimes fundraising, but a lot of the time just having fun together and building memories.
And we were talking before this interview about how important it is to have that support, that friendship that's not cloaked in medical issues, but cloaked in support and love and friendship. So how important is that, do you think?
It's vital, and the Children's Heart Association spends a lot of time just bringing families together so that families can have a really important building of memories, just some real fun times together. But you're also alongside other families so that children get to know other children who've got heart condition and can see them. They can do some crazy things too. But adults can begin to learn not only from other adults who are maybe further down the path than they are, but actually we've got a lot of adults who've grown up with their congenital heart condition, and to be able to look up to them and say, well, they made it and they're doing all right and they did some crazy things and they've pulled through as well, just gives so much hope for the future.
Because
it's really scary to begin with.
Mm. I was just saying on the way in, I listened to the television this morning. There was an interview with a young girl, and she had a heart disease and also cancer on her journey too. And she's documented everything she can since she knew how to read and write, and you know, and it's been like a real a support to her, but also being able to share that strength and that sort of awareness of it has been really good for her, but also her family to see her, you know, sort of flourishing and thriving. So today is World Heart Day. What do you want to achieve out of raising awareness today?
So I'd love people to know that there is a local charity out there. So if you are, well, whatever age, and you've got a congenital heart disease, congenital heart condition, or you got it as a child. That's the other slight difference, is that some children develop things like Kawasaki disease or rhythm disorders. We're there for you too. It's not just if you're born with it. And we'd like to know that we're out there for you. Get in touch with us and we'll see if we can meet up and have some fun times together.
You know, it's babies and trauma is attached to that, isn't it? You know, and operations that they have to have. And so,
For a lot of families, they'll find out before baby's born. And then there's a lot of worry during pregnancy. But in my case, we didn't know until Rachel was born. And the doctors then came and said, I think she's got a slight MoMA. And your world just starts to implode. Now, for us, it's not needed anything to begin with, but for many families, they then have to have the trauma of a blue light to a children's hospital, whether it's Manchester Children's Hospital or straight to Alder Hey, and then assessment as to whether an operation is required. Sometimes babies have to wait until they've grown a bit so that they're strong enough for an operation, and sometimes it's so urgent it has to be done straight away. But families can be staying in hospital for many months when baby's very new. And that trauma for the family is a deep, deep lasting impact on the parents that have gone through it, but also for the children too. That's, you know, a lot of our children actually have got neurodiversities, and there's something about the traumas that they went through as babies that can lead to just long-term issues or just differences. We wouldn't change a thing in lots of ways, but it's understanding that they're living with something that, although the main thing might be fixed, there's lots of other things going on either.
So would you say those are like hidden issues and hidden disabilities?
Yeah, all
rolled into one, really.
Yes. So there's things happening in their body that they're still having to have checkups. They will still might need valves replacing as they go along. There's always monitoring to make sure that they're growing well and they're living well. But we're only just beginning to understand the psychological issues.
Do you think it impacts on their ambitions and what people think, you know, parents and school think they're capable of? Are they wrapped in cotton wool sometimes and they don't reach their potential?
Sadly, and certainly that used to be the case, that you would wrap your children up and keep them safe. But I think we're now beginning to really understand that a healthy body and a healthy heart is one that's active and can do as much as the child can manage within their capabilities. And it's being able to impart that to schools, to friends, who don't just get scared and say, oh no, or you don't get put on litter picking duty instead of sport at school. And that's quite stigmatising.
Yeah, that squashes your ambition, that, doesn't it?
Completely.
Your aspirations. Yeah.
So it's about encouraging our families and our children to live their life to the best, to the full.
At what point did you think, I need to do this, I need to start a charity?
I didn't start it. I found it when I needed it.
Ah, right.
And then...
You've grown within it
and then got persuaded to be part of the team.
Yeah.
So we are only a tiny team and we're all volunteers, so it's a tiny charity just within the Northwest. But it's just so rewarding.
So you're not a medical background?
Personally, I'm a pharmacist.
Yeah, but not medical.
Not medical, no.
So how have you made the sort of connections to hospitals and how's that happened? Because you're very well connected.
Yeah, so we've built up trust with the different cardiac units. So the Royal Manchester Children's Hospital has got its own children's cardiac unit. Alderhay obviously has got a surgical unit as well as the cardiac unit there. And we've been, our children have been part of them, and we've been there buying equipment for them, toys, prams, heart trace monitors and things over the years, then we've built up a good reputation with them that they know that we are there, not particularly to fundraise. We're not asking families to fundraise. That's not what we're about. We're there for support for families. But as a side effect, we end up sometimes being able to raise some money to be able to give back to the hospitals. But it's not just the children's hospitals, because our children grow up now, and the specialist units, it's not that you go in with the general cardiac unit. You have got a specialist congenital unit, mainly based in Liverpool, but they do at Liverpool Heart and Chest Hospital, but they do outreach clinics. Mm. So there's the baby. Well, so my daughter is currently pregnant. She's expecting her second baby, and she's very exciting in December. And she's back under the Manchester services because there's a combined cardiac unit that's for her, especially to look after her during her pregnancy.
And that's really the main outcome, isn't it? We want our children to live. And so if
full
we're going to support
lives.
Them, then they grow into adults who need all the care, but with a special sort of connection because of their heart.
Yeah, so the NHS service in the Northwest is lifelong. So from antenatal diagnosis, there's an amazing nurse called Claire. If you get an antenatal diagnosis of your baby's got a heart condition, then she will be there through you with you through the pregnancy and making difficult decisions sometimes, sadly. Mm. But she can be there right the way through the pregnancy, supporting you. Then there's the children's units, and then you get transitioned through into the adult units as well.
So, like, today is a world day, really, and you're doing your part in the Northwest, basically.
Yeah, we are.
What's, you know, when you go home tonight and you have your, you know, you sit down for your tea and you have a rest and you think, what would you like to have achieved today through today's awareness raising?
I really hope that there is somebody out there who thinks, oh, I didn't know that you existed, and can maybe pass us on to somebody who has got a child who's got a congenital heart condition, or an adult, if you're out there and you've grown up with your condition and don't really know anybody else, and you'd like to join a group of people who have been through travelled a similar path.
That really interested us. It really interested me, that, because you think of children as children staying children forever, don't you? When you talk about children's hospital, but that's the beginning of their journey.
Yes.
And, you know, we want them to grow and you know, live fulfilled lives and be valuable members of society. So it's seeing them as adults as well, and that's what the association does, isn't it?
It's adults together
as well. It's a full life cycle.
The adults can actually give hope to somebody who's just cuddling a brand new baby.
Mm. But now, I mean, like, an older person who didn't have that in the day could have been, you know, brought up through the school system that didn't enable, through a school system that sort of damped their aspirations and their ambitions. And so...
And parents said, oh, you'll never work. And that's not the case. You can find your place in life and give back to society.
So we've talked really about how important it is that children's voices and parents' voices and as they grow, their youth and their adult voices heard. So what's the public patient voice?
That's right. So I'm part of a group that helps to feed back to not just the hospitals, but the people who are overseeing the way that the services run in the Northwest. We feedback our experiences and so that small changes can be made that make a big difference. Mm. And so it's called the Patient Public Voice. So we've been, we do some campaigning, but actually we just talk to the clinicians, and we met the lead cardiologist, the lead for the adults and the children earlier on in September, and we can feedback to them the things that seem small from their side of things, but it just makes such a difference.
Is this just a heart condition voice?
This particular group that I'm part of is just talking about the congenital side of things.
Yeah.
So there will... The NHS is supposed to have a PPV for all sorts of things, a patient public voice, to make sure that that the patient's voice is heard. And but they now start their board meetings with a patient story, just to make sure that everything they do is focused on what they're there for. They're not there just for a job, are they?
It's interesting because there's a few projects I've been involved in recently where, you know, lived experiences is the sort of focus of the project. One with the art gallery, Uncertain Futures, and we interviewed 100 women about they're over 50, about their life, their pension situation, labour, you know, discrimination, you know, all those kinds of things. And most recently here in Wythenshaw, around some health promotion around health that's particular to people in Wythenshaw. And I think the lived experience sits next door to academic papers, because an academic paper or someone talking about, you know, medicine or clinical progress or whatever, people fall through the cracks because they're individuals and it affects them in different ways, doesn't it?
It does.
So that's, you know, I feel it's really important that. And so to open a meeting with a case study, and I think more funding bids should be that. They should start with the why and the wherefore.
It's not just a case study, it's the patient themselves coming to the business meeting and having 4 or 5 minutes to say, this is what it feels like.
Yeah. And I'm a real person.
And actually, this is what you did well. So we had a story most recently about a young lad with Down syndrome and how his death, how it was handled. And actually, it's so sad it happened, but some of the staff made it really special for the family. And so it's complicated, but it's important to hear that side too.
And I think there's more space for it now in community, in all sorts of areas, that people's voices are heard. So that was interesting to me. So we were on the way in, we were discussing like statistics, but things have improved enormously, haven't they, since mid last century?
Since 1950s. Heart surgery didn't exist. So if you were born in those times with a really complex condition, your survival rates were so low. But nowadays you'd expect a child born with a heart condition that well over 90% of them will live a good certainly live to adulthood and live, many will just live a normal lifespan, which is just amazing. But can you imagine when they're operating on a tiny baby, when the heart is just the size of a walnut, the skill of the surgeons is just phenomenal.
I know, we're just saying it's like an art form, isn't it? I mean,
it is, but there's also lots of really ingenious science behind it as well. So if you need to go and replace a valve, you can sometimes do it without opening the heart. They can squash it up and send it down a tube through your groin and up into your heart and open things up and close holes up and all sorts. It's phenomenal.
It's absolutely amazing, isn't it, when you delve into it in that way. So I'm from a world of volunteering, and I'm sure your world needs volunteers. So can you tell me a little bit how that works? You know, do you have them? Do the hospitals have them?
Well, we need volunteers that we can go in and meet people at the time where they do get the diagnosis, and that means going through the hospital's volunteer program to be able to be there as peer support on the wards, just to go and visit once in a while. We have a very small exec team, so get people to come and join us to be part of the way we run the charity. Volunteers maybe to do a supermarket, stand there with a display and raise money for us, or do some crazy running or volunteering to raise money in other ways, baking cakes or whatever it is.
Never underestimate the power of cake.
Oh, goodness me, no.
So you've just been on a tremendous holiday and really exciting. So where have you been and who with?
Well, we took 30 families away. Not the weekend that just finished, but the weekend before. Do you remember that rain?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We were in Flamingoland.
30 families.
30 families. Oh, getting very wet in Flamingoland, just the other side of York. We had the most amazing time, and we did not let the rain dampen our spirits. In fact, a lot of us actually chose to go on the water rides, so we got even wetter. But at least we'd got caravans just on site that we could go back and get dry or go swimming or whatever it was. And then the sun came out on Sunday, so everybody's photos are coming back in, and you've got the ones taken on Saturday where this is the grey sky and just puddles everywhere, and Sunday the blue sky, and it was beautiful. But it was so nice to people to get friendships are made at events like that that last a lifetime.
We're talking about that because there is a loneliness to it, isn't there, as well? You know, like who to talk to, and only people who are going through it can really understand, a pain or a loneliness or whatever. And even though you have got friends, sometimes things like this can make you feel very, very alone.
I think friends who don't understand get very scared talking about it, and we can have difficult conversations. We can ask complicated stuff to the other people who've been through it with us. And that's where the association hopes to help. Have day trips out so you can, or just parties and things where you can, or Facebook group where you can say, is this normal? And you feel really weird asking the medical team about it, but it's just good to have people to ask.
I suppose it's the time for experimenting, like looking at how all the children play, and you might have restricted a child because you're worried about them, and you see actually if they can do it, mine can do it.
Occasionally you can't. So if let's say you're on blood thinners, you have to be on warfarin or something, then yes, you probably can't do contact sport. But we usually try and find a way to say, well, actually, have you thought about doing this instead? Instead of shutting things down, find an alternative solution.
Okay. Any phone numbers you want to share?
Yeah, well, the website is simple, heartchild.info. So www.heartchild.info. And our phone number is 01706 221 988.
And once again, a bit slowly, please.
01706 221 988.
So thank you for being with us and sharing your website and your telephone number, and you've done your shout out. So is there anything else you want to add?
Find us on Facebook. If you know someone who has got a congenital heart problem or got that acquired as a child, get in touch. But through Facebook is probably the easiest way, and you can chat to me.